Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
I'm willing to bet that most people that listen to this podcast probably thought David Howard Thornton did kill us later. And no, we're back. We are here. This is the 9/11 Dreads podcast. I'm Otis B. Dreads, and this is episode 83. A long, long time in the fucking making. And Mrs. Dreads is unavailable this evening, but fear not. Fear not, young patients of ours over there at the Insane Asylum, Facebook, Night of the Living Dreads, Dreads with no A, of course. We have a page and we have a group. The group is where all the nasty shit happens. That's where you want to fucking be. That's right. The page, yes. You, if you just want to follow what the hell's going on, then that's where you want to be. If you don't want to be involved in anything, because we get into the ish over there. Night Living Dreads. Group. It's public, too. It's public, too. But we don't take no ish either. So come on over. Have a good time with us. There's a lot of watch parties over there. A lot of movies by one of our great admins over there, Miss Amy Lynn Russell, who does such an awesome job at the watch parties. And I mean, it's just like horror movies, almost 24/7 sometimes. And she's juggling two kids. Guess what? The time of this recording, it is. Her youngest, her little boy, Xavier. That's right. Otis is telling Xavier. Xavier, Otis says, hippie birthday, sir. It's right, his second birthday today as we are, as we're recording. Now you say we. What do you mean we? Well, we are over there also. 911dreads.com. We're over there. You can listen to all the other, you know, podcasts. You know, we call them podcasts, but sometimes they're labeled shit shows and just for shits and giggles. And, you know, it is what it is. We have a good time and we're glad that you are here. And we have a good one tonight. We have a really, really good one tonight. Who we have tonight is a friend of mine. Okay. He's also a patient. So, you know, we can't shit on him too bad. We probably will. We probably will. That's right. Good old, you'll know him in the group as James Carnes. And James, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you having me on, man. It's an honor. It's an honor. I really appreciate it, man.
Hey, no worries, man. You know, I mean, you do a lot of really cool fucking art, and art in the way, you know, a lot of people don't think of, you know, doing a podcast is art, you know, but
it
really is. I mean, my you know, paintbrush or pen is my voice and how I have to, you know, present things. And, you know, anyway, you do some stuff that a lot of us here in the Insane Asylum find it really fucking cool. And tell us what you do.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I make masks and props, mostly latex masks and hockey masks, based off of stuff from Friday the 13th. But I can do any kind of custom work as well. But and I really really enjoy doing severed limbs. I kind of specialize in doing severed arms and
Oh man. I like messing around with severed limbs.
Everybody needs a hand every now and again. Oh, I mean, come on out.
Where's my brumps sound pad? Man. No, it's pretty awesome. You had put out there not that long ago, and I've seen some of the work that you've done, man. I've seen actually just a memory. I think you may have shared a couple years ago. You sent a Jason Voorhees custom mask that you made. Sent it to Deborah Voorhees, okay, who is doing some production, directing, I think, on Fanboy. Is 13 Fanboy, something like that, right?
Yeah, sir. Yep, yeah, 13 Fanboy, yeah.
And that was going to be actually your mask that you made was going to be put in as a, like, prize or something like that, right?
Yeah, it was, like, one of the perks that the one of the backers from Kickstarter.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Put some work into that one. Yeah, that was one of my good ones that I did that I hand painted myself.
It looks good.
Awesome. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, it looks good, man. So, so far we figured out that you like to, you know, kind of duplicate the fucking faces of, like, you know, I don't know. Mass murderers, serial killers, right? You know, fiction or not.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And, I don't know, man. And, you know, you like to accompany yourself with severed limbs.
Yeah, I actually did my own sort of take on a BTK-inspired mask recently as well.
Really?
Yeah.
How did you do that? A BTK inspired mask. I mean, what was entailed in that? I mean, how does somebody see it and all of a sudden it screams BT fucking K? You know what I mean?
No, by looking at it, I'm pretty sure that, like, one of the masks that they retrieved as evidence from the crime scene. I took pictures of that and sort of did my own sort of take on a more worn out, dirty version of that, more or less.
How long have you been doing this, man? I mean, it sounds like you actually know what the hell you know you're doing. And what was it, always just like horror mask? I mean, did you start out something else? Give us a little lowdown on how old JC here, not Jesus Christ, JC, got into this, man.
Right. I got into horror films ever since I was a kid. My parents, the first one that they let me watch was Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors.
Nice.
And ever since then, I fell in love. Whenever we went to the video store, I had to rent the new horror film, the new horror movie, see what else I could get,
Right.
And but the one movie that really just stuck to me. I mean, definitely a 7-year-old child shouldn't be watching Maniac, but the scene where the killer jumps up onto the hood of the car and just blows Tom Savini's head off, and it's I was like, how in the hell did they do that? Like, I gotta know. That looks so real. I know it's fake. How did they do it? And from then on, that's when my wondering mind, even as a small child, was just fascinated with special effects and movies and how things were done behind the scenes. So I started messing with makeup right around probably that time. And been doing it off and on, just as a sort of a hobby here and there. But I got into mask making and actual, like, latex mask making and sculpting 2 years ago. And I just I fell in love and just sort of ran with it.
No, that, you know, that's pretty awesome because, I mean, I can almost relate to that. I mean, to a point, because, you know, when I was a kid, some of my, and there's probably, you know, maybe a little bit of years between us, and, you know, I'm talking like probably late 70s, you know, type shit, where I'm starting to look at movies like, how the hell did they do that?
Right,
that's
right.
That's like, even with shit like, you know, back in 1978, 79, you have fucking Superman, you know, Christopher Reeves and shit. How'd they make him fucking fly? I gotta know that. And so, right? So I got like really, really, you know, intrigued with that. So some of my favorite, you know, was like, how you know, the movie making behind the scenes.
Right. How did they do it? The movie magic.
Yeah, the movie magic shit, dude, right? I mean, even though it was never an inspiration, you know, I was never inspired to, you know, wanna, I guess, be in that. You know, I didn't want to be like really a director, a special effects guy like yourself, you know, or anything like that. I was just really fucking intrigued on how they did that and think, could I do that? You know, it was just interesting. So kind of the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, with some things, it's going to be stuff that interests me too. That I'm intrigued with. But this, it just, I don't know. Horror has been just like, it's been that one constant in my life that I've had, you know, ever since I can remember. Basically, you know what I mean. So I think that's another reason why I feel so comfortable amongst monsters.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, that's good because rumor has it that you may have some interest in joining the gang. I guess this is a little off topic, but joining the podcast crew here and becoming a
definitely. Color.
So that would be kind of awesome to have you because if you're comfortable around monsters.
Definitely.
this is where you need to be because you'll have that. You will have that. You'll have a lot of fucking that. A whole lot of, you know, somebody will say something and all of a sudden you'll hear this in your head. It's like, oh my god, what is wrong with that person?
Da, da, da.
Right. What is wrong with that person? What happened to him? But we have a good time, man, and we all love horror, and that's the thing, you know. And you were talking about like you're just kind of, you zeroed in on kind of horror, I guess, with the special effects and the, you know, the makeup and just the mask and all that. And I can understand why, because it seems like horror. Okay, would be that genre right there is going to hold probably 98% of all of the special effects talent. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of really intricate. I don't know, man. I don't see much more, much better fucking special effect. I almost said much more better. That would have really fucking threw me under the bus right there. Right? But much better special effects than I do in horror films and maybe even sci-fi. Sci-fi is probably right there with horror. You agree?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Especially, well, and my thing is too, because of just what I do, but what I guess it's another part of it's what I grew up with is the practical effects. I mean, CG, there's a place for CGI, but just whenever people overuse it and it's like, oh God, it just looks so terrible. You could have made a puppet and it looked way better than that. Like,
exactly.
It's like, oh God. at least, and that's the thing too. No matter how good the CG is, you can always tell that it's fake, that it's not real. You can have a puppet that doesn't look real at all, honestly. But it gets the point across, and it does a better job, in my opinion, because it's solid, it's there, it's. I don't know.
No, I get it.
I'm weird like that.
No, I get it. You know, I've always been. You know, I'm a huge fan of Zombieland, 1 and 2.
Oh yeah.
Okay, but they use CGI out the ass.
Out the ass,
and it's like, come on, dude, you couldn't have used a little like explosive like blood packet right there.
Right.
I've watched enough behind the fucking scenes shit. I know I could make that for you.
I mean, right. That's why I liked Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead so much. It's because of all the practical effects and stuff that he used, and getting people that were amputees and stuff to play the parts of, you know, a zombie with no legs, and you know what I mean, or a zombie that was missing an arm, you know what I mean? They just put some prosthetic makeup on it and, you know, ran with it, literally.
Right. No, literally, yeah.
And it looked fucking phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, it was terrific the way that looked. It was...
The only thing that I can come up with as to why, you know, you do see a lot of CGI maybe in, places where people like yourself and even, you know, people like myself who are not, you know, that I guess artistically inclined in that direction of maybe special effects and things like that, would say, why? Why would you do that there? Is that because, I mean, we are just, you know, we've lost, maybe we need to get back to just our basic roots, you know, maybe to like an 80s slasher film and quit being like, okay, I got a fucking supercomputer. Why don't I make everyone a fucking little character? We don't even need humans, you know? It's like, come on.
Yeah, at that point, yeah, some movies, yeah, make me kind of feel like that. I'm like, why? Like, it was the prequel of The Thing, okay. The one that had came out. It's like, oh God, why so much CG on the creature? Yeah. You could have easily made tentacles and teeth, and it looked way better.
Yeah. May I refer you to a little ditty you may know as Night of the Living Dead. Okay, one Mr. George Romero and about 10 fucking, you know, of his friends, and, you know, very minimal budget, created one of the, you know, fucking most iconic horror zombie film ever.
Ever. Ever.
I mean, we don't need, you know, computers all the fucking time, do we? Can we just get back to, you know, some practical effects, man? Some little exploding blood packets and you know, some... What?
Right.
I mean, that's just where I'm at. I don't know. Maybe we have some dreadheads, some patients that, you know, probably think the same. Some maybe like CGI. I think we need to up their medication if they do.
Yeah, and that's like you were saying, like with some of the movies from the 70s and stuff, like a time since I'd seen the original Alien, and I watched it here a while back, and I was thinking, like right at the start of the movie, the interior of the ship, it's like, geez, they did a damn good job on that. That looks freaking real, They did a really good job in hell, and that was, that was the 78, 79, I think, somewhere around there. But yeah, they did a phenomenal freaking job. Right. Even the alien looked awesome. Yep. Awesome. And there was nothing like that at that point in time.
No, nothing. I mean, a lot of the camera shots done, as probably a lot of the patients know and a lot of listeners to the podcast know, you know, a lot of the, you know, shots done in the, you know, Halloween, John Carpenter, 1978, 1979 masterpiece, okay?
Right.
What was done with that, I can't think of the damn name of it, but it was that, you know, the harness camera, which is what gave them almost that POV shot going, yeah, you know, right, around the house. That is super, super iconic, you know. I mean, little things like that where, you know, and you just have to, you know, I mean, camera work I can understand. But when you talk about, like, you know, some, you know, practical effects. That's why I like what Rob Zombie. What do you think, Rob? How do you like Rob Zombie as far as a director and how he does the special effects in his movies?
I personally love Rob Zombie's films. I didn't get to see House of a Thousand Corpses in theaters, but I remember I went and saw Devil's Rejects in theaters. It was, oh my God, it was awesome, because it was me and my brother and a really good friend of mine. We were the only three people in the entire theater. I mean, we That's went awesome. At like 2 in the afternoon, too. Yeah, oh my God, it was so, we had a blast. We had a blast. And it's such a great, great movie.
Right.
The dialogue between the characters, it's almost like a horror Tarantino. That's kind of the way that I sort of look at him. He's like the Tarantino of horror films.
Interesting. I've actually never really heard that, but it does kind of make sense, because, you know, a lot of Tarantino's films are, you know, they're kind of all over the place a little bit, you know? I mean,
right.
Pulp Fiction is going back and forth, and bam, bam, it's like, okay, what part of this fucking movie am I? Am I in the beginning? Am I in the end? At the end, and it's talking about the beginning of the middle? What? You know, but I don't really get so much of that with a lot of zombies shit. You know, but I mean,
yeah, right.
You know, his original shit, that is, House and,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, all
I just
those.
Meant how, I just meant how over the top a lot of stuff is with Tarantino films, like with the action and gore, usually, you know, especially with the gore,
right.
You know, but I mean, hell, it's a realistic. I mean, that's what really happened if you smashed a guy's head in with a sledgehammer.
And I think a lot of zombies, you know, maybe inspiration came from the fact that, you know, his parents were carnies, as probably a lot of people know.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, so I'm sure.
I think there was like a riot or something. Yeah, I posted a couple, you know, little interviews or whatever where he was talking about that. I can't remember. It was a riot or a big fire broke out or somebody got stabbed or something.
Right, right, yeah. I can only imagine the kind of stuff that he's seen. Like, oh wow,
as a kid.
No, right, right.
He's already thinking, "Daddy, I'm more human than human."
Yeah. That was a good one.
Jesus, man. That's. I mean, oh, yeah, that, yeah. That's fucking crazy. So now, the. You know, before it slips my mind, do you have like an Etsy or something, a store that?
No, I just
kind of advertise and just do it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have a Facebook page for it's a Nightmare Ninja Studios. But
sweet.
Yeah, that's why I usually share my art and post what I have for sale.
There's where you can showcase it at. Well, we'll definitely have to get that over, you know, on the group and whatnot, especially if you're going to be another mouth on this fucking shitstorm we call a podcast.
Awesome. Hell yeah. Well, I'm definitely glad to be a part of it.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, you already laugh at most of my jokes, so I already like you. See?
I gotta keep this guy around. No.
He's the only one who thinks I'm funny. So it was Nightmare on Elm Street that just hooked you. Was that what hooked you as far as horror or just the special effects and whatnot? Three, you said.
Yeah, Dream Warriors. Yeah. It was just the eerie, everything about it. Really, I guess just the eerie ambience of the movie, the music, the set design were brilliant. You can never go wrong there. You can't go wrong with the Fat Boys.
Well, I mean, with the Fat Boys, you can't go wrong. But with Dawkins, you went severely wrong. You took a really hard fucking left.
I've heard a crazy ass story about that too. That actually all of them were snorting lines of coke off of the blades from the Freddy glove.
Who, the Fat Boys?
No, Dawkins.
Oh, Dawkins. Actually, I've heard some stories like that too.
Each one of them would have died from a massive coronary.
Good Lord, man. What was I thinking? Well, that explains the bad music.
There we go.
Not that all artists, you know, snort lines of blow as tall as them put out bad music. Right. Mostly like really good music was done by them.
Some of them have put out some terrific stuff while they're jacked up on 9 different things at once. Right. Like, good Lord. How the hell did you even do that?
Got two words for you, Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, Jesus Christ! Oh man, one of my favorites, Dog Fashion Disco.
What the fuck?
Oh my dude! If you've never heard of them, you got to check them out. They're a crazy, like polka metal experimental.
You had me at polka metal.
They're fucking insane. Dog Fashion Disco.
You'll have to send me that and give me a link. I'll put it in the description of this.
Right on. Yeah, I definitely think that the other patients, if they've never heard of them, I think that they would enjoy them too. They're batshit insane.
No, we got a lot of them hanging out, you know, wandering the fucking halls of the asylum. They don't even like post. They just wander, look, give a dirty fucking look. Motherfucker, just like it or something, man. Or give it an angry face. Damn, just do something.
Give me something.
I know a lot of us sometimes are, you know, fucking busy and shit. You know, a lot of us may have some free time. You know, I guess, all this, the Rona all over the fucking place. And I came across a little satire kind of movie. And before I get into that a little bit, because... JC, of course, again, not your, you know, your fucking Lord and Savior, the other JC, he watched a little bit of this as well. It's a movie called Corona Zombies. Yes, it's an hour long.
Man.
It's an hour long. Founded on Tubi TV. I'm telling you what, if you want to find some fucking horror movies. Because Netflix sucks. That was a whole lot of X's and S's and shit to get out. But they suck. Okay, most people know that. I mean, but Tubi, on the other hand, Tubi TV or Tubi.tv or whatever the hell, they have a very, very good selection of horror movies, and that's where I found this fucking gem. Came out in 2020. Go figure. Right? And it's an hour long. It's a horror comedy. And what they do is they take some older movies. One is Hell of the Dead. Is that what it is?
Hell of the Living Dead.
Hell of the Living
and,
Dead.
And Hell of the Living Dead. And and parts of Zombie Strippers.
And they take some of these, and what they do, for those that are like us, okay? And I'm sure we can find quite a few patients that are fans of Mystery Science Theater 3000. Are you a fan?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I definitely. Yeah, I love that shit.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're kind of looking at here. We're kind of looking at like little riff tracks kind of deal. And we're seeing them playing the actual, you know, movie, whether it be, you know, we say Zombie Stripper or Hell of the Living Dead. And you see these actors, you know, which are supposed to be serious actors. The artist Donahue. Do you see that part? In the very beginning. I'm going to tell you what, man. This is some funny shit. Because they're talking over. They take out, you know, what the actors in the actual movie are saying. And I'm like, man, that's just kind of funny alone that they're talking, you know, going, oh.
The way that they overdub.
Right.
It's oh my god, it's hilarious. It's like that like you said, that in itself is hilarious.
It is so funny. And then you take into account what the hell they're saying while they're overdubbing.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my god.
I told you there's too much biting in public schools. Like,
right.
I was rolling on the floor on that one.
Well, when they shot a couple of the Corona fucking zombies, and they're like, do you think it'll be over by April?
Yeah. Hilarious.
Or some shit like that, right? I mean, it was so funny, dude. So funny to me. And
yeah,
I mean, because it sucks, and you know, I'm not trying to, well, maybe I am trying to belittle this whole bullshit, you know.
Because
well, you gotta have some
satire. The satire of the entire situation is what it was trying to get to. Yeah, like, oh my god, oh my god, instant classic right there.
It was. That's what I told Mrs. Dredds. I was like, you know what? As dumb as this shit is, I fucking love it. I love it.
Exactly.
This is good. I'd buy this. You know, one of those kind of things.
Yeah.
I want this in my collection, hard copy.
Hell yeah! Right.
This is awesome. I sent it to the group page, and I Live in Dredds group, and you know, our little fucking. I think I put it in the group actually. I think I put it to the little admin and mod fucking group chat that we have. I think I sent it to them because Amy, she does a lot of fucking watch parties. Maybe she can find that, because that is definitely a gem.
It's
well worth the watch. You're not going to be like, oh, it's fucking an hour, I'm never going to get back. Nah, if you do, go fuck yourself, because you don't enjoy fucking humor. That's what that's about.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, yeah, so speaking of 2020, and we're almost about to the fucking end of 2020. I don't think there's any movies coming out before the end of the year, is there? Most of them are scheduled for next year, right?
Yeah, all the big ones. I mean, I tend to usually go for the indie horror films more myself than all the big,
interesting,
all the big shit. You know what I mean? Like, because there's only so much stuff that Hollywood's gonna let people get away with now.
Sure.
And, I mean, if you're an independent filmmaker, I mean.
Okay, tell me this then. Tell everyone this then. What give us your let's say maybe. You can go top five or you can go top three favorite indie horror films that you've watched. We'll say your entire fucking life or whatever. Just the top three or top five. You can go either one because I'm curious. I dig indie films too. I want to hear what you have to say.
Oh, geez. Of all time or?
I mean, just what you would recommend, you know, maybe the top three or top five to maybe somebody who's not really familiar with the whole indie horror vibe or whatever, you know?
Gotcha.
Some of your favorites.
I think most everybody, if they haven't seen Terrifier by now, they've got to see Terrifier. Terrifier is absolutely number one.
I guess you would kind of call that an indie film, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
I didn't even. I didn't even really fucking think about that.
That's a total independent film. Fuzz on the Lens Productions and all the, I mean, those guys are, the guys and gals, they're all terrific
right.
people.
Right.
And they do one hell of a job. I mean, and that's another one that's another reason why I like that one so much is because there was no CG. It was all practical effects.
Absolutely.
And it was just a throwback, total throwback to the 80s slasher.
I said that as soon as you saw the title come up on the screen, bam, big red letters, Terrifier, and right underneath of it, it was copyright,
right.
blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God, that's like straight 79, early 80s right there.
Right.
Just how it looked, the whole feel of the movie. And I told David Howard Thornton, of course, you know, Art the Clown. I told him when he was on the podcast, I was like, it had an 80s feel to it. And he said it was pretty much on purpose, I believe, is what he explained, that was kind of the feel they were going for.
Right.
And it was cool.
Yeah, it was a
cool
total
vibe.
Throwback. Yeah, just the music, the...
Yeah.
The shots, the lighting, everything about it was, the lighting is what, that's another big part of that movie that just drove a lot of scenes. Like, it just really nailed it, really nailed it. A really, really close number two is going to be a movie called Lake Nowhere.
I think I might have seen that. I'm not sure. That sounds really familiar.
It's short and sweet. It's like an hour long. It's on Amazon Prime. But it blends two of my favorite genres, slasher and zombie.
Mm.
I mean, I don't want to say anything else because it will give away a lot of the stuff with the movie, but it's...
A must see if you're into
definitely.
This slasher zombie type shit. Lake Nowhere.
Lake Nowhere. Especially like I recommended it to some people and this movie was terrible. But it's like, well, keep in mind this is an indie film. This isn't some
right.
huge production Hollywood
exactly.
movie. But with what they had, oh my God, it was amazing.
Well, you know, that's also like the little Friday the 13th fan film, Never Hike Alone.
Never Hike Alone. Never Hike Alone was good.
I thought that was actually pretty fucking decent, man. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, Never Hike Alone was good.
You're taking your medicine.
cigarette. Getting some nicotine there.
That's what they all
damn.
Say.
damn Texas.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you are down there in Texas, aren't you?
Unfortunately.
So let me ask you this. I know we're kind of jumping all around here, man, but these questions just pop into my head because I think you do really damn good work. I've seen a lot of your work and, a lot of the different masks. I'm actually going to be receiving one of, Michael Myers mask. I think you did some painting and shit on and some modifications and whatnot.
It was a Trick or Treat Studio. Halloween 2 mask, and I totally rehaired it, ripped all the hair out, because the hair work on it was terrible. It was god awful. So I actually tore all the hair off, took all that off, took all the glue off, and then repainted it and then redid the hair with mohair, like alpaca hair.
Right.
But and that was actually my first time ever even messing with hair. So
could you've done quite a bit of like Jason mask, as we mentioned earlier, the one you sent to Deborah, and I think you've also sent some to our good friends over there at Misfit Horror Fiend Club, Mr. Van and Trisha over there.
Oh, yeah.
I think Van's
oh,
gotten
yeah.
a few of your Jason creations, man. And what do you do? Because I mean, we're talking about like a hockey mask. I mean, you can only like I guess you know, different parts. So you have like what, a part two or a part three or whatever, you know, type mask.
Right.
Is that how you do it?
Right. He got the first movie where he got the hockey mask was in part three.
Three. Yeah.
And then, like you were saying, like in each one, like the mask differs slightly. There's something different about it. There's something a little bit off. You know what I mean?
Right.
The only mask that doesn't actually change in shape is the three and the four. It's just the axe wound and all the battle damage
right.
at the end of part three
yeah.
carries over in the beginning of part four. But then throughout of the other films, you know, they're like in part seven, he's got damage from, you know, all the other films. He's got the propeller damage from part six on the side where it's
right.
all torn up
yeah.
and got the axe wound in the head, the bullet hole in the head.
Right. That's what I liked about, you know, how I seen some masks coming out, and I couldn't tell you, you know, Michael Myers mask that you know, had come out that were supposed to be, you know, pretty much a replica of the Blumhouse Halloween in 2018, where it had the hole in the neck that was supposed to coincide with the sewing needle, the crocheting needle, whatever that you
right.
know, she's stuck in with, which I thought was really cool, and I praised it for being an attention to detail. I think I even mentioned it on the podcast at one point. But then I seen the mask, and I was like, okay, cool, man. We're going to buy this motherfucker, and I bought it, and I wasn't even close to what the fuck I wanted. Not even close,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
You got to be weary of people out there. How many times? And you know, you're more than welcome to, you know, shout anyone out, throw them under the bus. Because I think people, you know, sometimes, you know, if they're not going out into the stores and, you know, maybe trying to save a little money, Christmas and all that's coming up, it's time to buy gifts, and we all have, you know, horror fans in our lives, and me and Mrs.
Right.
Dregs have been, you know, ripped off before, and there's actually a lot of honest people like yourself, like some other people that I've purchased lamps that look like, you know, fucking Ed Gein style lamps with a little baby face, and it's really fucking cool.
Yeah,
I got a fucking hat and shit, and, you know, I've dealt with some really, really good, you know, credible, you know, fucking sellers, artists and sellers. And, but there are some out there that's not that way, man. And you told me
yeah.
a little bit about some of them. Do you want to give a warning to anybody? Cause a lot of people's going to be looking to buying shit online.
Yeah. One guy that I'd, recently had, some bad dealings with was, Nefarious Nightmares. So, definitely do not do business with that guy.
Did he just not deliver? I mean, what the hell happened?
What had happened was, I, long story short, I traded him one of my molds for two masks. He was supposed to make two masks for me. Well, I ended up getting one of them, and it took 5 months to get that mask. And I mean, I'm a mask maker. I mean, I know. Sometimes shit happens.
Yeah,
I mean,
it can take a little longer than what you would normally expect it.
Right. I mean, these things aren't mass produced. I mean, they're made by hand by one person. I mean, even if you're swamped with orders, you know. I mean, like I said, you know, I'm a mask maker myself. Like, you know, let the customer know. Let them know what is going on.
Sure.
don't make me come and ask you, hey, am I going to have my mask by Halloween? Am I going to have my mask by Halloween? Long story short, I was promised to have both of the masks by Halloween. I only got the one. It was within a week. It was the week of Halloween. I was like, look, dude, I'm obviously not going to get my mask.
Right.
Like, what are you going to do? He's like, well, I could just send you your mold back. I was like, okay, great. Let's do that. Lo and behold, sure. That was a month ago.
And still nothing?
I still don't have my mold. Oh. Still don't have my mold. Yeah, and which even if he did send it back, I know that he probably had already recasted it. So, I mean,
right.
I pretty much already, you know, I knew I wasn't going to get it back either way. And if I did, he'd probably break it or, you know, something like that, you know.
Something childish is what it sounds like.
Because I'd already made the deal with the guy. And then come to find out, and then, like, I start hearing all this other shady stuff about him. I'm like, aw.
Oh, from other people that tried to get product from him?
Right, right. Like, one guy had bought, a blank resin mask from him. And it took him 8 months to get him that blank resin mask. And like I said, that's what, whenever I was making the hockey mask myself, that's what I made mine out of. And it's like, there's no way that's going to take 8 months. Right. That's impossible.
Right. That's you gotta be careful, you know, out there. There's some that don't really have, you know, your shopping pleasure, and your pleasure in their product at, you know, the forefront. Now, do you have any up front? Any people? Any places, stores that you like to shout out, including, you know, your own. You said you have a Facebook page dedicated to your art and whatnot. Are there any other places? Throw them all out there, man. That you've dealt with maybe personally.
Oh yeah, like I said, I used to make my own hockey masks with molds that I had. But I ended up getting some blanks from Jeremiah Dizzy Day over at 6 Feet of Separation.
Okay.
And his blanks, his hockey mask blanks, and he's an amazing artist himself. But he also sells blanks of the hockey mask so that you can paint them yourself.
Right, and just kind of put your own spin on a Jason, but you have the basic mold pretty much kind of thing.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a piece of really, really durable, different, and he even has different types of plastic, different grades of plastic that you can choose from. Right. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, and his shipping is on point. The quality, that's why I just, after I got that one from him, and then I ordered several more. I ordered part 5 from him, and then I ordered several different versions. I think I ordered a part 3, a part 4, wow. Another part 5.
You're a repeat customer.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I absolutely loved the 5, and then I'd gotten all of these other ones, you know, and it was the same thing. It was absolute top-notch quality.
Right.
Looked exactly like the ones used in the film. So I just started getting my blanks from him.
Right. And that's what I look at. That's what I look at. When I look at a mask, I'm like, man, could this be like, you know, in the fucking film? How close of a replica is this? And I understand, you know, I mean, unless you're going, you know, right to some top-notch source or something, getting, you know, these replicas or whatnot. You know, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a little variation, but I would like it to be as close as possible, you know. That's just how I am, I guess. I don't know. I mean, are you kind of the same way? Is that kind of how you look at, you know, when you do your mask? You want somebody to go, yeah, that looks like movie quality shit right there.
Exactly. And at first, that's what I was doing was doing the straight up, replicas from the films.
Right.
And they're like, oh my God, like, especially some of them doing, it's so, you wouldn't think it would be that hard. Well, one would think. But to nail every single little scratch, every single little detail, I mean, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a pretty meticulous fucking job right there, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why I really like getting the ones and then doing my own spin.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I like doing the ones that are pretty much shot for shot, like the film. I don't mind doing those either, but I really like having my own, having free range to just go and do whatever I want.
Sure.
Which, there was a part 7 that I actually had given to, another awesome, indie filmmaker and director, Dustin Ferguson.
Okay.
He'd gotten a part seven and a part 5 from me.
Nice. That,
and the part 7, it wasn't, you know, a movie accurate at all. I did my thing. And that's another one of my specialties is making things really look really dirty and gritty and nasty.
I dig it.
Like it was a really nasty version of a part 7.
Okay.
But he loved them. He absolutely loved them.
Well, that's awesome.
And that's all that matters to me is just making my customers happy, making people happy.
Absolutely.
And sharing the love of horror with everyone.
There you go.
That's what it's all about.
That's right. Spreading the love of horror, man. We're like the church of horror here.
Exactly.
You spread the word. anyway, yeah. So you know, check what was it? Was Nightmare Ninja?
Yeah, Nightmare Ninja Studios.
And that's over there on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Awesome. You know what, James? It's been JC. Oh, JC. It's been fun, man. and I look forward to doing a lot more shows with you.
Hell yeah.
It's kind of a little dry run. I wanted to get to know you a little better, you know what I'm saying? And the mask and everything. As a matter of fact, I got 2 masks coming from you. So
I
can be a firsthand kind of critic right there.
Yeah, right. And then definitely let me know what you think about the paint job.
Oh, I will, brother. Hang on the line. This has been fun. Episode 83 in the bags. We'll talk to you next week.
No one knows. We're going to die.